Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Before I start with the main focus of today's sermon, please note the context. That is what Jesus is actually saying, all of it, in the gospel lesson, and especially that teaching of judge not lest you be judged. That Jesus says that right before he teaches properly how to judge, by first making sure that you are right in your judgment, that is by removing the log from your own eye first, then judging. Nowhere in Scripture does it teach that a Christian should set aside the clear words of God in the face of sin. No, God's word is true, and it judges sin. Do not let the society that we live in try to teach you God's word. The devil has never been good at teaching the word of God in any godly fashion. But we are to judge with proper judgment. That is judgment that is holy from God's word. In our sermon hymn today, we confessed and we taught one another, Lord, let me win my foes with kindly words and actions, and let me find good friends for counsel and correction. Help me, as you have taught, to love both great and small, and by your Spirit's might to live in peace with all. We get, as people, as Christians, as human beings living on this earth, we get that peace is good in the abstract. Philosophically, we can all agree that it's good. But the trouble is when we have to live in peace with the people we actually know. The people who live their lives among us, with us, next to us, in our congregations, in our homes, in our communities, at our workplaces. The people whose lives as sinners come into contact with our life as a sinner as well. Then peace becomes much more difficult. And then we come up with all kinds of sorts of reasons why we can't live in peace with all, as we just sang, prayed, and taught. In the Old Testament lesson, we see Joseph forgive his brothers. Again, we maybe don't realize the background story to this. This is years after Joseph first forgave his brothers the first time. But maybe it's been a while since you covered this in your devotional life. Or maybe this should remind you to start that devotional life up again. Joseph's brothers had been jealous of him. They disliked his dreams as a youngster. They hated the favoritism that their father Jacob had showed to him. They mocked him. They made fun of him. As their sinful covetousness, that's all the jealousy was covetousness, as that grew into sinful anger, sinful slander, and then finally their sinful plotting to murder Joseph, or at least to make sure that Joseph would never come around there again. Their sin against Joseph made him a slave, the worst of conditions, and then also a prisoner in a slave's prison in Egypt. They made sure through their actions that Joseph would spend well over a decade of his life with nothing but suffering and punishment. Sin had begotten more sin. There is no end to it in this life. Yes, sin from others, but also sin from within yourself. That you are naturally like Joseph's brothers. And that means that as it eventually came back to them, with their guilty consciences, as they stood before their brother, who now ruled over all the land of Egypt and had the power and authority to put them to death, they were afraid and plotted and planned and tried to get out of their many sins, especially that big one against Joseph. Joseph had every human and earthly right to be angry with his brothers. He had every human right and even the human authority as a ruler in Egypt to punish them. But instead, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Joseph forgave them and took care of them. And years later, a decade plus later, their guilty consciences were still at work, as they're afraid that Joseph had only been holding back his wrath all these years because Jacob was still alive. But now, with Jacob dead, they were afraid. But instead of acting in his righteous anger towards them, Joseph has more mercy. And he reminds them of his love. And he pledges himself to care for them and their little ones. That this is the love and this is the mercy that is expected of all who bear the name of Christ. To forgive, to love, and to have mercy. You are Christians like Joseph. Have you endured all the hardships of his faithful example, the kind of hardships, the mockery, the betrayal, the sins from within the household, the fellow Christians treating him poorly, the jealousy, the covetousness, the anger, and the murder? Probably to some extent, but not like Joseph. Joseph's example of faithfulness is a wonderful and pious and devout example. But his example also condemns how poorly we have managed our situations in life. It reveals just how weak our faithful walk as Christians has been. That we can look around and see all around us in our culture and world and our country today and see that there is a real, genuine anger problem. But it won't take long. Examining our own life, that is, taking the log out of our own eye, for us to find sinful examples of our anger at work as well. Christ Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, he says, if you are angry with your brother, if you are hateful of someone, it is murder. The fifth commandment. The scriptures then also go about to teach us, and they call all of our efforts to get back at someone who has wronged us, it calls it something else. It calls it idolatry. Because to do such things is to make yourself a judge and to sinfully try to sit in judgment, in God's judgment throne, over the ones who've wronged you. It is to think too highly of yourself and what you really deserve. But vengeance is mine, says the Lord our God. And that is true. Where our feeble attempts to exact vengeance on those who surround us, who wrong us, are simply confessions that at times we would prefer to be God than to trust in the one true God to make things right. You see, you and I have no right to vengeance. God has those agents on earth. They are given to exact punishments, parents and pastors and judges and so forth. But even then, because of their sinful hearts, their attempts at justice are far from righteous. For this, you must realize that when you are angry in such a way, when you are unmerciful and vengeful, that the Spirit of our God is not running your life. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Be sympathetic as your Father in heaven is sympathetic. Leave vengeance to the Lord, for His word declares over and over again that vengeance is His property, not yours. We are taught in the Lord's Prayer, which we pray multiple times a day if we pray as we've been taught by our Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. that Jesus often will tie mercy and forgiveness together, that those who believe they are forgiven will forgive others. And that's the simple truth. That those who then refuse to forgive others demonstrate that they actually don't believe they are forgiven. You see, a heart that has been set free from guilt and condemnation, that is by the word of forgiveness, a heart that has been set free of those things will have no problem letting others off without exacting punishment. But a heart that still refuses Christ's forgiveness, that heart will show itself in refusing forgiveness to others who wrong them. And you as Christians should take heed. This is a dangerous thing to play around with. It's a deadly sin to have in your life. This teaching against our anger is very necessary. The church has for way too long sat back and taught how the Christian life never should show any anger. And now should we just tuck our anger away and hide it under a pious veneer, a sham, a fake covering of positivism over our wretched and sinful hearts, which are crying out in anger and in hatred and holding grudges and never letting go of those sins committed against us? It is one of the chief reasons why so many have grown cold in their love of each other. It's because they've harbored their anger. They have not been taught how to deal with their anger. That first of all, that anger will come from your sinful heart regardless. But first of all, you confess that anger. You pray it toward God. The Psalms are filled with angry prayers to God, asking for God to indeed act against those who have sinned against the psalmist. Those very psalms also teach us then how to faithfully confess our anger, asking God, even in anger, for help. Even in anger, for God to act with vengeance. But here is the key. The psalms always end with a hopeful and a patient plea. Hopeful that God will indeed take care of the matter in His ways according to His timing. And then the psalmist leaves it like that. It's not like the psalmist would get up from such a prayer and continue to plot some kind of vengeance or vendetta. No, having confessed it to God and having asked for God's help in the matter, the psalmist can now faithfully leave it to God's hands, for vengeance belongs to me, says the Lord. So when you are angry, confess it to God in your prayers. Ask for God's help. Ask for God's action in the matter. And then let God sort it out. Leading your life as one who has been forgiven by God and shown great mercy from God our Father already. You see, this is key. Your anger is all too often sinful. That yes, there is, biblically speaking, a thing called righteous anger. That God has it. And at times Christians can have it too. But all too often it doesn't stay righteous for long. The righteousness of man, the kind we live out, is nothing to trust in. The sinful nature will make sure that you try to, though. No, the cure for the anger is mercy and forgiveness. Mercy and forgiveness from God, mercy and forgiveness from God for you. For Christ Jesus, He came to be the object of justice. Vengeance is mine, said God, and in Christ Jesus, the vengeance of God upon sinners was poured out fully. That His blood gushed out from wounds inflicted by angry men. His skin was covered in spit from angry mouths. His flesh bruised by angry hands. His ears rung with words of mockery from angry men. His eyes beheld the spectacle of angry crowds. And yes, his very spirit was crushed into the ground as the Father, in order to be merciful to you, showed no mercy to the Son, who was sent and who willingly came for this reason, that by his blood atonement, the once and for all sacrifice for sin would be made, and that the Father's wrath would be set aside from mankind. That Christ's blood flowed not onto a beautiful altar, but onto the dusty dirt outside of Jerusalem because of your anger, your unmerciful thoughts and actions, your failures to forgive as you've been forgiven. And that Christ Jesus did this willingly. He knew what he would endure. And here's the thing. Christ Jesus has not taken back his love for you. The Father was merciful to you in the chief way by sacrificing the Son in your place. Your sins demanded blood and punishment. And Christ Jesus supplied that blood that endured the punishment, so that the Father's love would be seen by you. And then that your neighbors could see that same love, that same mercy of the Father, the forgiveness of the Father, shown through you onto those who are all around you. Not as some empty and distant concept of peace, but in reality, as people who forgive when no one expects it, as people who are merciful when no one deserves it, as people whose marriages shock the people around you because they exhibit such love and care and forgiveness, as people whose family lives are so filled with love and mercy for each other that people scratch their heads at how you can get along with all that has gone wrong inside of your family. But this is your calling as the blood-bought children of the Heavenly Father, to make right what your sinful nature wants to continue in its idolatrous and murderous grudge-holding. But as St. Paul says, as much as it depends upon you, live at peace with all men. So says the Spirit of our God, who has been given to you in your baptism. And that this peacemaking begins in your homes, your families, no matter how many years the grudge has gone on. Behind that grudge lies sin, sins against you, and certainly your sins against others, ultimately your sins against God. But as God has forgiven your sins, so take that freedom from such a need for vengeance and live at peace with others. Make that peace. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. So make the phone calls. Write the letters. Knock on the doors. Make peace with one another. For this pleases your Heavenly Father, who has shown this peace and this love and this mercy to you in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.